And you probably want to monitor them a bit more closely because they're really working their joints harder than the four-legged animal. Really, in the realm of supplements, UC2 is still one of the ingredients that has the most solid data when it comes to helping dogs.
What is UC2 and how can it help tripods who are so prone to developing osteoarthritis? Find out on this episode of Tripod Talk Radio with Jope founder, Dr. Christine.
And scratching like a three-legged dog.
For any tripod, cat or dog.
Why do some vets do things that way? Why?
So many people don't realize that their dogs are in pain.
He's a three-legged dog and he's still pretty good.
Welcome back to Tripod Talk Radio. Jim here. And today, Renee is talking with Dr. Christine Calamonico all about osteoarthritis, or OA, in dogs, especially how it is so common among tripods and only gets worse over time. This topic really hits home with us because we helped Wyatt Ray manage severe arthritis as he got older. Spending 12 plus years on one rear leg really took its toll on his mobility. We attribute Wyatt's longevity to good weight management and the rehab exercises we did with him his entire life. But along the way, we tried many different joint supplements and other rehab modalities to manage the pain from OA that only got worse as Wyatt aged. One of those supplements recommended by his rehab team was UC2. But what exactly is undenatured type 2 collagen and how does it work? Well, Dr. Christine has a similar story about her own heart and soul dog, Pepsi, who also developed OA that affected the quality of life for her best running buddy. She believes so much in the science behind UC2 that she's created her own supplement based on this key ingredient. Jope also includes omega-3s, curcumin, and other ingredients designed to keep joints healthy. And that is so important for tripods. Check the show notes for a Jope discount code. And yes, Tripods earns a small commission if you purchase. But as you'll hear, we've been personally using Jope for Nelly for nearly 6 months now and have noticed a considerable improvement in her mobility. So consider trying Jope for your dog after learning all about osteoarthritis in tripods and how UC2 can help. Dr. Christine, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Christine, this is Renee here, and I am so happy to meet with you here and share what you do with the Tripods community because it is so important for them to know about your work helping dogs and cats feel better on three or four legs. So thank you so much. I wanted to talk to you because, well, as you know, we have a 3.5-legged dog named Nellie who has some severe mobility problems that need help. And when I found you, or actually, you know, we just kind of bumped into each other online and I just thought everybody needs to know what you're doing because I really feel that Nellie is benefiting from your work. And we'll get into that in a minute. But what I want to start by talking about is osteoarthritis in dogs and cats. And your work revolves around that. That's why you're here today. But, you know, long ago when Jim and I got our first dog, osteoarthritis was not even mentioned. Our vets never talked to us about it. And it wasn't until he got much older that it came into the conversation. Now, however, I keep hearing about it in relation to younger animals and I be aware of it for younger cats and dogs. And so, well, I wanted to ask you, what are veterinarians learning that's different now about osteoarthritis in animals? And why is it such a big deal? Why do we need to know?
So I think you touched on a lot of points that are, you know, very true and that we're realizing more and more, especially having younger animals develop arthritis or what we call osteoarthritis. We often think of arthritis as like the disease of older dogs, but we're realizing that it can actually affect dogs as early as 1 year of age. And
wow.
So in vet school, when I was in vet school, which was between 2010 and 2015, we were taught about basically what is arthritis and then how to manage it. So do you want me to dive into that, or did you have like a specific?
Yeah, let's just do a little rundown of it, just to make sure that everybody's on the same page here.
Okay, yeah, so I think it's a good idea probably to just understand what arthritis is, what we also call osteoarthritis. So it's important to remember that it's a degenerative disease that is going to worsen over time. And like you pointed out, there's dogs of any age that can really suffer from it. The problem is once you have arthritis, you can't actually go back. And to date, there's no curative treatment to basically reverse what is happening in an animal's joint or in a human joint for that matter. So what happens when you have arthritis is that you're going to have a different reason for arthritis, first of all. So there's different causes that are going to lead to the same presentation, which is arthritis. Dogs are going to express it very differently. So there's a lot of different signs that you can see when a dog has arthritis. If they're three-legged or four-legged, that can also, you know, impact the signs you're going to see. And what is also very important is to remember that there's signs, but there's also changes that we can see on radiograph, for example. And these are changes that are called structural changes that are seen in the joint. And so what you're going to see is that when there's arthritis, one part in the joint specifically, which we call the cartilage, do you know what a cartilage is, or?
Go ahead and explain.
Okay. I'll just explain because sometimes the term, but they don't actually understand what it does. So a cartilage is actually like a cushion that we have between two bones at the joint level, and it allows for the bones to move comfortably, and it acts like a cushion. And so when a dog or a human has arthritis, the cushion is breaking down and is basically becoming thinner. So over time, you're going to have bone-to-bone interaction, which is very painful, as you can imagine. And the changes are going to be there to stay. So that is really, you know, what you're going to see on radiograph. And what happens, and the reason these changes are progressing, is because there's inflammation that starts in the joint for different reason, and then it becomes a chronic and vicious circle, which continues to lead to damage in the joint.
That is a great explanation. So the inflammation is causing the cartilage to wear away. And it's my understanding that inflammation can be anything like caused by cancer or obesity, maybe inappropriate activity, that kind of thing. Is that right?
Yes, there's many different reasons for it to start. And cancer is basically something that's going to create a chronic inflammation in the body, kind of generalized. Same thing for obesity, you're going to have more inflammatory cells. So any condition that is chronic and leads to inflammation can be a reason arthritis is going to start as well.
Wow. So everything eventually might end up there in the cartilage and cause pain. And we'll talk about pain in a little bit. But first, I'm curious, are there certain breeds of dogs and cats that are more prone to getting osteoarthritis?
Yes. So there are a higher risk for certain breeds. So in dogs, you know, I think just to generalize, it's going to be the larger breed dogs. So think, you know, your bigger dogs that are growing fast, like Great Danes, German Shepherd, Labradors, but also any dog that is going to have a body structure that puts their joints at a higher risk of having some sort of abnormal movement. So for example, corgis, because they're a bit longer, the Frenchies, where they have different body types that makes it that they're more prone to. So smaller dogs can also be at risk of having joint disease and arthritis. And then there's also cats. Some of them have a higher likelihood as well. For example, the Maine Coon, sorry.
I was thinking Manx, but you're right, Maine Coon, yeah.
The Maine Coon, the Siamese, the Scottish Folds too. So whenever you have an animal that is pure breed, they're at a higher likelihood of having arthritis or joint disease than a mixed breed. And then certain breeds have a higher likelihood of certain diseases that can lead to arthritis.
That is so interesting, because we usually hear about breeds in relation to things like cancer risk, but I didn't know that about osteoarthritis. Now, we can't help that we fall in love with a certain breed type. Like, you know, my thing, Jim's thing, is German Shepherds. We're just a sucker for a shepherd, who are obviously really prone to arthritis. But how about activities? Do certain activities tend to be the reason behind arthritis?
So it's a very good question, and I think that's one we don't always think about, because I think if we were to ask somebody, you know, which type of active dogs could have a higher likelihood of having arthritis, they would think about working dogs, which is true, because they're going to be much more active. And, you know, if you think about, for example, dogs working with the police or the fireman department, you can imagine they are going to have more pressure on their joint on a regular basis. But generally speaking, dogs that, you know, run all over the place in the yard or jump really high, like my brother has a Frenchie who loves to jump after the top of the champagne, the cork. And he just jumps and bounce and bounce and bounce. And he could do this for like hours when we're opening champagne. And so even for him, he's not a working dog, but the constant, you know, like jumping, can really lead to also just more pressure on the joints, micro trauma, which can increase the likelihood of having problems with the joint later on. It's not certain, but it's just the more you use your joints, the more pressure you're going to put on them, the more friction, the higher likelihood something later is going to happen. So just be mindful for, you know, young dogs that are growing, try to make sure they're not jumping all over the place, that, you know, you're being mindful just of their joints in general, and try to ensure their activity is, you know, in line with what their body can do as well.
That is especially important for us with special needs animals, dogs missing a leg, cats missing a leg too. You know, a lot of people think their cat is just going to jump no matter what, but we tend to find in our community that some cats can actually be trained to use pet stairs and ramps and perches and things to avoid jumping from the top of the kitchen cabinets and that sort of thing. But it seems so ironic that movement and staying active will keep us in good shape, yet it can also cause damage. So I know there's a fine line that we have to walk there somehow, which, you know, that can be so tricky, because we want our tripods to stay healthy and not be overweight, but how do we find that activity that's just right for them? And that's one reason why we really encourage people to see a rehab therapist for their animals, so that they can learn what activities are appropriate, especially for that breed type or species. But I don't want to get too far off topic, because we just love talking about rehab here. But as far as how OA impacts the joints, when it comes to tripods, does it affect them differently depending on, let's say, what leg they've lost or maybe their age?
So, you know, for tripods, they're going to have to use their remaining limbs differently from a four-legged animal. And they're going to constantly put pressure, more pressure on the joints of the remaining limbs. So, you know, it's kind of like for them, even if they're not overweight and they're very healthy, it's kind of a similar scenario where you have a dog that is overweight and that is going to have more weight to carry every day. So, you know, they basically are having more pressure put on their joints. So even if they're healthy, you just want to, you know, be mindful. And that's where maybe modifying your environment can be beneficial. Mm-hmm. So that you're helping them adapt. And then you were asking, you know, if they lost like a front leg or hind leg, how can that impact? So it's going to have a repercussion on the likelihood of the joint disease that they might be more susceptible to having in the future. So for example, if they lost a back leg, they might be more prone to having hip dysplasia because they're going to be putting more pressure on the other hind limb. But then if it's a front limb that they lost, they might be putting more pressure on their other front limb. And that's where you could have like elbow dysplasia, shoulder dysplasia. So I think that's, you know, what you want to keep in mind. And you probably want to monitor them a bit more closely because they're really working their joints harder than the four-legged animal, whether it's a cat or whether it's a dog. So I do think, you know, I would say you're probably already extra careful with them. But I would say, you know, monitoring and really being on the lookout for any changes. Like earlier, you were telling me about Nelly, who she, you know, was in the morning maybe not as mobile because of the cold. So she really feels it. So, you know, seeing if that improves with the weather or over time, I think that's important to monitor and just maybe be even a bit more observant if you're the dog parent or the cat parent of a three-legged animal.
Yeah. And what other kinds of things can we look for aside from, you know, the way they get up in the morning? Are there certain behaviors that should tell us, oh, maybe we should get our tripod checked out at the vet for arthritis?
So that's a very good question. And that's a bit of a tricky one because like I was saying earlier when I was explaining what we learn in vet school is that arthritis is more of a disorder and it's not really a disease with a set of signs. Oh. So every dog is going to express pain in a different way. And really what you're looking for to evaluate whether an animal has arthritis or not is, do they display sign of pain? But signs of pain are not necessarily, directly linked to arthritis. They can be in pain for many different reasons. So that's the tricky part. Like, I think if you see that your tripod is acting differently, maybe, you know, doesn't have as much energy, is not eating normally, this just means something is going on. Is it going to be OA? Maybe. But that's where you should go to the, you know, your veterinarian or your rehab specialist if you're going to one and have them evaluate because there's not one sign. I can't tell you if you look for this specific sign, that means your dog has arthritis.
I see.
And so that's really hard to sometimes to understand because it would be way easier. Mm-hmm. But it's not really the case.
Okay. So yeah, always if you suspect anything's off, definitely want to connect with your vet team. Now let's say they come back and they say, yeah, your animal has arthritis. Then what happens after that? Do we stop them from playing? What do we do? Is there anything we can do for that?
So I guess I'm going to maybe ask you a question if that's okay, but
yeah, of course.
Have you actually had to, did you experience this? Have you had a dog or a tripod or four-legged pup who was diagnosed with arthritis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, like I said, we love shepherds. So it's kind of inevitable at some point that you'll be dealing with some mobility issue. And with our Wyatt, who our previous dog, he had a lot of osteoarthritis issues in his spine, in his low back. And that really started showing up when he was about 8-9 years old. And, you know, we were working with a rehab team to do certain exercises and things that would help strengthen him in other areas, his core muscles, things like that. And given some pretty good instruction about walking and you know how far he should be walking and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and the reason I was asking is because I really think, you know, there's a few things to consider. First of all, if a dog is diagnosed with arthritis and they have signs, it means that they're uncomfortable, and so you're going to want to address the discomfort. But sometimes they can be diagnosed with arthritis without showing any signs. So that's where the radiographs that you look at and where you see damages potentially in the joint, they're not necessarily representative of how the animal is feeling. And with arthritis, what you're really trying to do is manage the well-being of the dog or the cat. And so depending on, you know, their age, their breed, are they active or are they not? And also depending on the severity of arthritis, because there are different stages, there's a lot of different things that can be done, which is the great part in a way about arthritis, is because there's a lot of tools between, you know, diet, rehabilitation, keeping up a healthy exercise, you know, using certain drugs or certain medication that can help, using supplements, using alternative medicine too, like, you know, physiotherapy, but, you know, laser therapy, heat therapy, swimming. So there's really a lot of things to do. And as a vet, what I recommended to my clients when, you know, we were faced with the diagnosis of arthritis is really like, what can you do? What is going to work with you? What does your dog need? And coming up with a plan that is really going to help the specific dog that we're, you know, trying to help feel better. But generally speaking, you're always going to want to have a healthy diet. You're going to want to continue with an activity that is tailored to your dog's or cat's possibilities and needs. So it's going to be different if you have a young dog or a more senior dog, if you have a tripod. And then you're also going to, you know, potentially think about adding supplements, which can be a really nice add-on if you haven't started them on it before. Do the environmental changes and then work with your veterinarians to see what else you can do. Like, are there specific exercises you can do? Should you go walking with them long distance, short distance? Should you go up and down hills? Should you maybe go take them to swim? So there's really just a lot of tools and options. And I think it's important to take a moment to, you know, establish what happened. A diagnosis was made. Establish where you are too. How is your dog feeling? And then how can you make sure they continue feeling good or they start feeling better with all the tools that you have and your veterinarian team recommends? So it's really like a conversation to be had. But I had to deal with that with my dog Pepsi, and you know, there are solutions, although it's not always easy to find the right one.
It really sounds like we have so much at our disposal to work with. It's not like there's, oh, you know, there's this one surgery that will fix it, and that's all you can do. We can do a lot no matter what kind of budget we have or what time we have, you know, people with other animals or kids. It really sounds like there are lots of options, so we shouldn't feel hopeless if we're told that our animal has OA. Now, you mentioned Pepsi. So I would love for you to tell our audience about Pepsi and how you became well acquainted with OA in your dog.
So Pepsi was my dog when I was growing up. He was, like, to this day probably remains my heart dog. Like, I had him very young, relatively young at least. And he was my running buddy. So he was a French medium-sized shepherd dog called Labrie. And we used to run like miles together, you know, 8, 10, 15 miles. Like, he would just have endless energy. And when I went to vet school, kind of ironically, around the same time I started vet school, he started slowing down. But for me, it seemed like it happened overnight. Like, he was very healthy. He was able to run with me when I left for vet school. And then I came back, like, you know, a year later, and he just couldn't do the distance anymore. Like, the first time I took him for a 3-mile run, he was still going because he wanted to be with me. I could just tell he wasn't well. And I had to call my mom to come pick him up because he just, like, I could tell he wasn't feeling right. And that's when we had a conversation with my mom, who was keeping Pepsi, and she cared for him the whole time, like, all the way through the end. But she told me she felt like he was slowing down, maybe not as active. And so that's when, you know, he had a lot of things telling us something was wrong. We just didn't know what it was. So that's when we went to the vet and then, you know, spoke to people at my vet school. And he was diagnosed with bilateral severe hip dysplasia. So that was kind of the reason for the slowing down. And that's when we started doing a lot of different things. Like I was in vet school, and so I was literally throwing like everything I could at him. Like I was, we were doing diet was not a problem because he had always been very not picky eater, but he wasn't food motivated. We fed him a very balanced diet. So his weight was perfect. Like we were running, miles. So those were easy to do. And then we started working with him doing laser. We did massages, physiotherapy. We had to put him on NSAID because he was just so painful that we needed to help and limit inflammation. As we were saying before, inflammation is really what is going to kind of fast track the disease. And if you're not controlling it, you're going to have arthritis that is going to worsen. So we used NSAID with him, but the problem is, so NSAID, it's nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory medication, and it can have issue impact on the digestive tract. So like ulcers, which is what happened with Pepsi, gave him diarrhea, like he wasn't tolerating very well. And it can also have impact on the kidneys and the liver. And so that's how I started looking into, what else can we do to help decrease inflammation that is going to agree with him more. And at the time, we didn't have Librela. And my mom was a pharmacist, so she was really into more of the natural and supplements and herbs. And that's when we started looking into all the supplements, and we tried literally everything we can find. And that's also how we discovered UC2. I was in vet school doing, a lot of studying and looking. We were being taught studies, and we were looking at like how to evaluate products, and that's basically how I decided to try UC2. And that's where I saw that for Pepsi, it really made a very big difference. So he started feeling better. Sometimes it's hard to know because you're doing so much, but it was definitely a time where, like, he was doing physiotherapy, we were doing massages, he was still on his diet, he was taking NSAIDs. But then when we added UC2, what happened is we were able to decrease the amount of NSAID. We saw that he started being more comfortable. He started, being able to trot on walks, to just be happier. And we started decreasing, the amount of NSAID pretty quickly. And then we maintain him on supplements with UC2. I ended up adding also omega-3s and curcumin, which is, what we have now in our product, and we can cover that later. But we kind of, tested different things, see what worked with him. Always thinking about what might be more effective also from like study and science perspective. And then we added this to Pepsi's regimen, and it just seemed to work for him really well. In the end, what happened is Pepsi actually had also degenerative myelopathy. So that is where you have a neurological issue, and he couldn't use his leg anymore as well. So over time, unfortunately, even with what we were doing, we had to make the difficult decision of letting Pepsi go. But that's kind of the story of Pepsi, and like the reason today I created Dope, and now we're here talking. And this is also why like my whole adventure means a lot to me, because I did really see with Pepsi how trying something and finding something that works can just change the quality of life and make you feel so much better to see your dog like happier again and able to do things he enjoys too.
Yeah, it's clear that he was your heart dog and that, you were able to give him a really good quality of life for as long as possible, even with the odds stacked up against him with OA and then DM. And, one of the things that really drew me to you when we found each other online was that Pepsi's story is a lot like how our Wyatt's was. We tried everything with him, and then one day his rehab therapist at Colorado State said, there's some really interesting studies behind UC2, and I think that it's worth looking into for him. And at this point, I guess he was about 9 years old, and he was at that age where, we thought the slowing down was inevitable. We thought that, maybe his time was coming. But once we tried that, we really saw a difference in him. We really felt like we were buying more good quality time with him. His mobility got better. That in combination with the rehab therapy and the weight control and appropriate activity. So I'd like to get into UC2 now. Tell our audience, what is it and what is the science behind it that compelled you to give it a try in Pepsi and then in your own work?
Yes, yeah, so when we were looking for Pepsi, honestly, I tried a lot of different things. But I did, being in vet school, I was trying to have like a logical approach to what I was doing too, especially when I saw that I wasn't able to find something that was working. So I kind of like went back to what I was being taught, meaning science. And the reason that I decided to give UC2 a try is because you had studies at the time that had came out. And especially one that was in 2012 by Gupta that showed using a device that it could really help dog that had something going on with their mobility. So from a scientific perspective, I felt like the data was interesting enough that it would be worth trying it. And then when I looked at how it worked, because in vet school you look at every product and you looked at every active ingredient and you really try to understand, how can the mode of action of this specific ingredient I'm looking at or this specific molecule help my patient? Like, you learn about the physiology and how it works. And the reason I was really interested and drawn to UC2 is because it has a very specific and unique mode of action, which is called oral tolerance. And so I don't know if you are you familiar? Have you heard about it
No,
before?
can you explain that?
Yes, I'd be happy to. I think it's a really cool, just like mode of action, and it makes it very different. So what happens is that UC2 stands for undenatured type 2 collagen, and it's an ingredient that is patented. It's not mine, but it's patented, which means that there's a quality guarantee behind UC2. And so undenatured type 2 collagen, it means that it's the same type of collagen that humans, dogs, horses, cats have in the cartilage in their body. So when they make UC2, they extract type 2 collagen, but the way they extract it, they don't heat it. So it's going to be not denatured. So it keeps the natural structure. This is important because it means that when humans or dogs or cats are going to eat UC2, so ingest it, UC2 is going to have the natural structure that it has in the dog's body or cat's body. It's going to go through the digestive system, and there it's not going to be absorbed, but it's actually going to interact with the Peyer's patches. And Peyer's patches are a part of the immune system, which are basically part of the digestive system called the gout. I don't know if you've heard this term before.
No.
So in our digestive system, we have certain parts that are linked to the immune system. And so that's why when you eat, for example, when a kid eats, and I'm gonna do a little apartheid, but when a kid eats, something that fell on the floor, usually the parent or whoever's watching the kid is gonna say, it's fine. They're training the body to respond. It's triggering their immune system. It's good for them. That's really what's happening with UC2. So your dog is going, so Nelly or your dog, a dog is going to ingest UC2. UC2 is going to transit all the way down to the Peyer's patches. It's not going to be absorbed, but it's going to activate the immune system and tell the immune system to basically downregulate inflammation that is happening at the joint level.
Interesting. That is one way of explaining it I have never heard, and it makes total sense now. So it's not like they eat it, they're going to absorb it into their system, and their body's just going to feel better. This
No.
actually goes to a deeper level than that.
Yes, and that's the reason, like no other ingredient used for joint health does this. So most of them needs to be absorbed. Like glucosamine and chondroitin, they need to be absorbed, and that's why you're going to have very high quantities of them. But UC2, you only need a few milligrams in order to get the benefits.
Wow, I
And
might start
so
taking that.
I take it every day.
You really?
Yeah, because I work out a lot, and I just I'm healthy, but I run a lot. I'm in New York, and so I just prefer to be proactive. And there's a study actually that was also done in a healthy human and healthy dogs that showed UC2 can help decrease inflammation linked to daily activity.
Wow.
So yeah, that's the reason I take it, and I think it's really interesting for young dogs as well. But so The other thing that UC2 does, and not only is it helps train the immune system to basically have a healthier response and decrease inflammation in a healthy way, but it also helps with cartilage repair to the extent possible. So you remember the cushion we were talking about earlier that is getting thinner? You
Yeah.
can't really fluff it back up, so you can't really, like, make it nice and squishy and very, pretty again. But what you can do is try to help fix as much as possible. So that's kind of the two things UC2 is able to do. And that's the reason I think it's a really interesting ingredient.
So it can't build a whole new joint cartilage,
No, nothing
but
can.
nothing can, but it can do what? Like make it smoother, or how does exactly can
Well, the body, so the exact way that, anything is going to work in the joint is not really determined. So I'm not going
Okay.
to say that I can give you a definite response.
Okay.
But what we've seen is there's a study that was done and actually on rats, but what they did is they look at rats that had cartilage damage, and they looked at what the cartilage looked like at the beginning of the study and then at the end of the study. And so, the body is something that is really well, like a very well-oiled machine, I think is how we say it in the US. And so the body is naturally going to find a way to feel better. But with UC2, what the study was able to show is that the level at which the body was able to repel itself was higher than without UC2. So it just showed that it was able to do a better job at trying to repair itself with UC2 than without. But again, UC2 is not going to cure arthritis. It's nothing will. The damage that happens at the cartilage level is going to be present, but you can help basically the body just be a bit stronger to try to delay the progression of arthritis. You're not going to stop it, you're not going to reverse it, but you can just help slow it down.
That is the goal. I mean, if we can't cure something, at least slowing it down and giving our animals more comfortable days, more days that we can go on walks together. I mean, that's priceless. So you created Jope with UC2 in it. Tell me a little bit about that process. You also chose a few other ingredients. So I would just like folks to know what exactly is Jope and how it can benefit their animal.
So, it really all started again with Pepsi. Like Pepsi was actually the first dog who took Jope without knowing it, and it wasn't called Jope. But the reason we decided to move forward with bringing Jope to the market is because once we graduated from vet school, so, and I say we because I started Jope with my co-founder, who's also a veterinarian. And he's a friend from vet school. So he saw me with Pepsi and he helped me figure out, how to help him. So it was really like he was there from the beginning. And when we graduated, what we kept seeing, we both worked for pharmaceutical companies. I worked in the US, he worked in France. And what we kept seeing is that supplements, especially for joints, were just not really changing in their base formula. Most of them use glucosamine and chondroitin. Very few, used a more innovative type of base formula. And so we wanted to bring to the world what we had discovered with Pepsi and basically create a supplement that had an innovative formula based on science. So the way we did it is we started with our experience with Pepsi, where we find three ingredients that really helped improve the quality of life among everything else we were doing. But when we implemented these ingredients, we saw a difference for him. And what we did is we decided to look at other studies that had been done since, and we actually decided to, do our job well and not just pick the ingredients we had used before, but see if anything else was new on the market that we felt could maybe be more robust, have more studies, better conclusions. And what appeared is that really in the realm of supplements, UC2 is still one of the ingredients that has the most solid data when it comes to helping dogs. And it, for example, the study I had mentioned in 2012, where it showed using a device that it really helps improve the quality of life and just the way dogs feel, that was really impactful. And there's 9 studies that came out since. They're all very positive. So that's the reason we still decided to select UC2. It was based on the science and the studies. The mode of action also of UC2 with oral tolerance was still something like we find very interesting and actually fascinating. And then we added omega-3s and curcumin because we like the way they all work differently. So omega-3s has EPA and DHA, which have been shown to help decrease inflammation too in a natural way by targeting another part of the inflammatory cascade. And then adding curcumin is a very nice, like, complementary action because it's going to have antioxidant properties that, you know, when you have chronic inflammation, you want to try to get rid of these free radicals. So that's the reason we decided to combine these 3 ingredients, because of the studies behind them, with, you know, UC2 having 9 studies with very positive conclusion, omega-3s being very well studied as well. Like, that's one of the most recognized and supported ingredients for joint health, as, you know, Nelly probably knows. I think she was taking some fish oil before.
Yes.
And then curcumin for just thinking about this chronic inflammation that's going on, really trying to address that in a comprehensive way.
I really, really like the science that's behind this. A lot of companies claim that, but you and your partner have really put a lot of time and energy into making sure that what is in the supplement is really going to benefit. And I could totally respect that. I need to know, before we go any further, because I forgot to ask earlier, what does JOPE mean?
JOPE stands for Joy of Pets. Because you really want to do, you know, I went to quite Pepsi, but I felt like that might, you know, not fly with Pepsi company. So we decided to call our company Joy of Pets. And JOPE is the short for Joy of Pets. It's really to celebrate the bond between, like, us humans and, you know, our 4-legged or 3-legged companions, because they really can change our life and they just bring so much joy. So you know, that's why we decided to go with JOPE.
I love it. I think it could be a new word in the dictionary. I'm gonna vote for the word of the year to be JOPE this year.
We'll take
So when somebody starts their dog, and this is okay for cats too, right?
So UC2, there's no studies in cats.
Okay.
But there's anecdotal data showing that it works. For JOPE specifically, the palatability was made for dogs.
Okay.
We have some people giving it to cats. I wouldn't guarantee that, you know, a cat would eat it. It can be made for food, so that can work. But yes.
Okay. So this is more about dogs. Now, if somebody started their dog on JOPE, what can they expect? I know that when Nelly started it, we got a neat little questionnaire that asked about her mobility and things like that. What can somebody expect if they decide to give it a try?
So the questionnaire you're referring to is called the CSOM, and that's actually a form that we created, and it's a digital version of a recognized tool to help track improvement in a semi-objective way. And the reason we did that is because what we were saying earlier with dogs, they don't talk. So sometimes it's hard to know what's going on. And because the signs that you're trying to improve are very different between dogs, we wanted to really give a tool that would be personalized. So Nelly's CSOM, which is the form you filled out, is going to be very different from, like, the one I would have filled out for Pepsi. And we're giving a tracking tool to try to help you semi-objectively assess progress with JOPE. Usually what people report is that after, you know, about 3 to 4 weeks, their dog is going to start showing subtle sign of improvements. You know, we've heard, like, more energy, we've heard more comfortable on walks, like maybe taking the leash again to show that, you know, they want to go out. So just small improvements, they might start going up or looking at going upstairs, even though they weren't doing it before. And then over time, basically, our ingredients are going to be more and more beneficial to your dog's well-being. So, you know, after 6 or 8 weeks, you might see, like, a very strong sign that your dog is feeling better. Maybe they went up the stairs, they jumped on the bed, they can walk longer distances. So we've had a lot of different reports of improvements. Again, it depends what was the first sign you noticed. And then with time, basically, this kind of compounds and the benefits continue. There's actually a study that was done in UC2 specifically showing that after 150 days, the progress was still ongoing. And that's why with the form that you were referring to, we're asking people to complete it every 2 weeks, and we're trying to do 90 days, but it could do more. We just want to be respectful of your time. But it's really to try to show you the progress. And when you're done completing the form, we send you a graph that shows the progress with Jope over time. And the reason that's also important is because sometimes with arthritis, you have what we call the placebo effect. And that's where you have the impression. So you're giving something to your dog for a condition. And because you're giving it, you see changes that are not necessarily linked to actual real effect. And sometimes dogs can also, because you're taking more care of them or you're being more attentive, they might also start hiding their potential pain a bit more. So the placebo effect, although surprises people a lot, is something that has been shown to exist. And so we're also trying to help give an objective way to assess that without the bias of the placebo effect.
I really liked that about the experience of trying Jope with Nelly. And for those of you wondering, yeah, we are seeing a difference with Nelly. That in combination with other things we're doing for her mobility. She is going up the stairs more these days. She's jumping on the bed, which she shouldn't be doing, but she is. We're not letting her jump down though. We're trying not to. But yeah, we have seen a difference in this dog who was on the euthanasia list in the shelter because she was such a medical train wreck when we got her almost 2 years ago now. So I really appreciate what you're doing, and I can't thank you enough because I feel really good about saying that Jope is a product that I think our community needs to try. There is good science behind it. There's two veterinarians behind it. In my book, it doesn't get any better than that. And if we can do something to help our animals feel better and objectively measure it, that is golden in my opinion. So where can people learn more about Jope, and what else did you want to share with them before we close?
Well, thank you for sharing, your experience too, and I do respect and appreciate it. I know we've met about 6 months ago, and you explained to me your process too. So, I am very happy and honored to be here today because I do think that you wouldn't have invited me if you weren't happy with, how Nelly was doing, which I understand. I wouldn't invite somebody on a show if, Pepsi had not benefited from the product. So, really appreciate this. And if anybody has questions, they can go to our website. It's petjope.com. So PETJOPE.com. And then there's information there. And basically, if they email any email address they find on the website, contact at petjope, it comes to me or my partner. So we're doing, all the responses so they can ask us some questions. There's a video about why we started Jope on the website. So there's a lot of resources on the website, long articles about UC2, omega-3s. They can always ask us, and we're always happy to answer.
Okay, well, thank you so much. We also have a very special discount for Tripods members. We'll put links in the blog post about it. And just full disclosure, if you do buy from Jope, yes, Tripods does get a small commission from that, but that's what keeps our community online. So just wanted to put that out there. And yeah, any questions at all? What's really great about this company is that Dr. Christine and her partner are there if you have questions. I love that. So thank you, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we will see you very soon with another episode of Tripod Talk. Thank you, Dr. Christine.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Many thanks to Dr. Christine for what she's doing with Jope. Pepsi would be proud. With so many supplement products on the market, it's hard to tell what works best. But one thing is certain. Tripods are more prone to developing osteoarthritis, and once diagnosed, it doesn't get better. But you can help prevent it from getting worse, and that's why we're happy to see the studies published about UC2 and why we're using Jope for Nelly. Check it out for yourself at petjope.com and see the show notes for a coupon code to give it a try.
He's a three-legged dog and he's still pretty good.
Thank you for tuning in. Subscribe to Tripod Talk Radio for more pet amputation tips from experts and claim your free gift just for listeners at downloads.tripods.com/podcast.